wasn't even saying anything. You know, it wasn't about anything that was happening outside. There was no, it became very clear to me that nothing that was happening in this very, very nice room with good acoustics had anything to do with what was really happening outside. There was no discussion happening here. There was no problem solving being done here. There was no fixing things being done here. And I didn't really feel like I said, the guy who just got thrown out, I was kind of like, that was kind of dumb. Then all of a sudden, I'm up. And I say, I didn't say Mr. Speaker, so that was a mistake.
You're listening to On the Record Offscript, the podcast. My name is Mark Coffin, and I'm one of the hosts. Now, before we get to this week's podcast, we wanted to share an update with you about what you can expect from us and how often. At Offscript, we are somewhat new to podcasting. We've all been involved in politics before. We were all avid writers, and I've done a bit of sound production. But aside from that, a lot of this is new to us. So it's taken us a few weeks to get our sea legs or ears. But now that we have a better sense of what we're doing, we feel ready to make a commitment to you. We're going to release a new episode every week. We'll release each week's podcast on Tuesday afternoons, and we'll deliver two different types of episodes, and most weeks we'll alternate between which kind we share with you. The first kind of episode is the standard episode, and it's the reason we created the Offscript podcast. It'll be a piece of the story of the journey of an MLA, and it's based on our findings from the exit interviews we did with former MLAs. It'll be somewhere between 20 and 40 minutes long, and it'll be produced like a mini audio documentary. It takes us about 2 weeks to write and produce one of those episodes, so you'll get one of those podcasts every 2 weeks, starting next Tuesday. Every other week, you'll get one of our special episodes. Special episodes are where we will share interviews, talks, and stories that we think you, the Offscript audience, will be interested in hearing. Some weeks that might mean sharing an extended interview with one of the ex-MLAs we interviewed. Other weeks it will mean sharing pieces of an interview with someone who isn't an ex-MLA, but who has something to share about the experience of people who serve in the legislature. Political science professors, journalists, that sort of thing. And some weeks it will mean sharing content that is relevant to whatever has been happening in Canadian politics or Nova Scotian politics that week. For that, we'll pull from some of our own archives of content from events we've hosted in the past, or from public archive content like clips from the Nova Scotia legislature or speeches given in other forums. Whatever content you hear in a standard episode or a special episode from Offscript, we're going to try and stay as close as possible to the spirit of the podcast, on the record and Offscript, trying to tell the untold, unspoken, but still meaningful stories of Nova Scotian politics. Of course, we're going to take a bit of a break from writing the standard episodes over the holidays, and from time to time throughout the year when things get busy or vacations get in the way, we'll also take a break, but we'll make sure to stockpile some special episode content for you during those periods. So, next week, December 20th, we'll be sharing our last standard episode of the year with you, and we'll pick up where we left off again on January 10th. All right, here's this week's podcast. So, the last few weeks of Nova Scotian politics have been anything but boring. The Nova Scotia government and the Nova Scotia Teachers Union have been locked in an impasse for some time. Early last week, that all came to a head with an emergency sitting of the Nova Scotia legislature on Monday. On the same day, outside of the legislature, Granville Street was flooded with teachers, students, families, and other supporters of the teachers protesting the government's approach to negotiating a collective agreement with them. It was one of the biggest protests we've seen in Nova Scotia in some time, and certainly one of the biggest we've seen under the term of Stephen McNeill's Liberal government. Anytime there is a controversial decision made by a government in Nova Scotia, there is inevitably a large number of people who get more engaged because they care about that issue. Those people often end up learning a great deal about how politics works in Nova Scotia quite quickly. The last time we saw a decision this controversial was when the government decided to make cuts to the film tax credit in the spring of 2015. Now, one of the people who learned something about how politics works at that time was Nelson McDonald, who is a film producer, a Cape Bretoner, and, full disclosure, friend of mine. We hosted an event in June of 2015 called Scene Change, Stories of the NS Film Jobs Movement. Nelson was one of several activists who shared a story about how he got engaged to save the film tax credit, and he shared the story about how he got kicked out of the Nova Scotia legislature. Here it is, and a heads up for listeners with sensitive ears, Nelson likes to swear, and we didn't bleep anything out.
I'm still banned from the Nova Scotia legislature for about... I'm really bad with numbers, and I'm a film producer. That's kind of embarrassing to admit. Quite a few days.
Yeah.
When I was, I'm so bad with numbers. I don't even know those numbers. When I was a kid, some point when I was a kid, I think it was around 1997, in New Waterford, two things happened that kind of come to mind when you guys are talking. One, New Waterford girl was shot in New Waterford. And I was a kid in maybe, and I love New Waterford, I'm the number one fan, but like I can say this, it's a shithole town. Like, it sucks. You know, that's me as a kid, right? We looked around, we all thought, this place sucks. Oh my God, what are we gonna do to get out of here quick? Oh my God, it was a lot of angst and anger, and it was terrible, it was terrible. And that movie came to town, and I didn't really, they came into the classroom, you know, and they were like, we need kids to, and they had every kid in the class, you know, go around and say, and they were also shooting Pit Pony at the same time, right? So this kept happening. They kept coming into our classroom, people that I know now, right? When I was like 12 years old, 13 years old, they'd be like, hey, you, stand up and say this line. You know? And I can't quite remember the line, but it was something like, yeah, I'll throw a what rock at your window. And that was the line, right? And I remember they really liked Shane McClellan's version, and everybody in the class was like, really, Shane? Of everybody? What? So, fast forward 2 years, 1999 or so, and this is kind of one of the defining moments of my life in a weird way, and in the community that I'm from, certainly one of the biggest moments. And I was about, I guess I was like 15, and they closed the coal mines. That's it, it's closed. Everybody's out of work, see you later, that's it, it's over. 100 and some years, that's all anybody's, that's all we knew how to do, right? And my dad wasn't a coal miner, he was a construction worker. My grandfathers had worked in coal mines, and all of my friends' dads worked in coal mines, and everybody in the town was connected to the coal mines, every single person. And in the days that followed that announcement, I remember seeing the strongest people I knew, the strongest women and the strongest men, with weird looks on their face, and confused, and scared, and damaged, and weak, and just like strongest people, you know? And when the budget thing, debacle is what the word I've decided to use, the debacle. When the budget thing happened, the debacle on April whatever, I saw some of my really strong friends in the film community in the next few days, and I said, I've seen this movie before. And it all came rushing back pretty quick. And this time I thought, you know what? I didn't know what the hell was going on when I was 15 years old, other than something's up, right? Like, it was really weird. This time I knew exactly what was up, and I thought, okay, I can do something this time, right? So I started trying to do some stuff. We made this crazy, silly video. Bob's here and Beth's here, and with Glenn Matthews, called Liberals 2015. We shot it with the team that actually shot Stephen McNeil's campaign video. They came out to do it for free. Yeah. But the story of how I got kicked out of the legislature, it kind of goes back to 1997 and maybe way before that. But it definitely goes back to during the last election campaign. And I'm sitting in my secure apartment building here in the North End, and there's a knock, knock, knock at my door. And it's a gentleman with a red tie on. And he says, hi, I'm running in your district. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes. I said, you know what? I've actually been out covering some of the campaign with Springtide with Mark. I was helping him do some videos about the campaign. I had been out going door to door, following politicians. We had interviewed all of the leaders. So I was like, I kind of made up my mind on what I was going to do, I thought, right? So I said to him, look, I don't want to waste your time. I know you got to knock at a lot of doors. You know, just keep going. You know, good luck. Your knuckles must be really sore. I don't know what I said. But he said, oh, well, what do you do for a living? I said, I work in film. And he said, I love the film industry. And he said, my daughter wants to be an actress when she grows up. And I've been on film sets, and I see the impact they have in the community and for local businesses. And you're a small business person just like me. I'm a small business person, and you're a small business person. I know and understand that. And the liberals, you might have seen it, we're going to extend the tax credit. That was all said at my door, every single word. That's pretty much verbatim, okay? So, I'm not good with numbers, but I'm good with good at remembering words. Okay, so I say, holy, you know what? You guys are gonna win anyway, so I may as well vote for you. No? I regret that. So then I say, the budget thing happens. I say, shit, I got to email this guy. He's going to be on my side, right? He came right to my door. I know, I remember every word he said. So then I sat down and I wrote a really nice letter, something sincere like Ruby. I thought of Ruby and I, you know, wrote a really sincere thing. And it was like me on my best behavior sort of thing, right? And then no response. And this was actually before the budget came out, because we knew after the comments that were made by the finance minister in advance that something was up, and I wanted to try to talk to him about it then. So and then I tweeted at him, and he responded and said, I'd love to meet up. He said, email me. And I said, I did already. It was a heartfelt letter. You might remember it. Didn't. Then I emailed him again, and no response. And then I tweeted him again. He said, email me. And then I... Yeah. So fast forward to the day of the rally. And I'm down there at the rally, and it's a beautiful day. I think it was the hottest day of the year so far. I got a sunburn.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. I got a sunburn that day. It was...
It was auspicious.
Yeah. So I'm walking around with my little sign, and I got my Cape Breton flag, right? And everybody's there, and I feel really good about the job that everybody's done to put that together. And there's people from New Waterford who I know who came out. They didn't have to be there. They had no connection to the industry other than me, and they came down from their offices, you know, maybe they just wanted to get out of work. It's kind of a New Waterford thing, but they came out and they came down to the rally, you know, and I thought that was so awesome, you know. And then my friend Alex says to me, you know, you can go inside the legislature there and watch what's going on. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't think they'd let us in there, so I said, oh really? Shit, okay. And then, so I told my friend Jason and a few other folks, and they were like, oh yeah, we should go in there and see what's going on. See what they're doing about all this. Because there's like thousands of people outside rallying. So I go inside, and they take a piece of ID. Any of us can go down, and we just need some ID with us. And they gave me a big sheet of rules, several sheets of rules to follow. And folks were all really nice down there. And then they told me I had an Atlantic Filmmakers Cooperative shirt on. Yeah, I thought it was nice, but they wanted me to cover that up. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And I just walked in anyway. And then you get in there, and it's kind of like a horseshoe kind of theater thing. And then you're up in the gallery, and you're looking down on all of our MLAs down there doing their, well, theater is a good metaphor, I guess. And I sat down, and then I thought, oh, I can't see the gentleman who came to my door from where I'm sitting. I'm going to sit down and see what he's doing. So then I walked around and they said, yeah, you can sit wherever you want. Okay, cool. So I sat down and I stood. And I sat there, not stood, I sat. And I watched. And I watched him. And I watched his behavior. And then some of the other behavior as well. And there's been quite a few film industry folks who've been down to the legislature, to the gallery in the last couple of months for the first time ever, like me. And they were pretty horrified at what they saw, and I was really disappointed. And a lot of feelings started coming up, you know. And I was sitting there trying to follow all the rules. I wasn't tweeting about anything. I wasn't clapping. I was sitting down. I wasn't, you know, I was following all the rules except for my t-shirt. And it lasted probably about, well, it was about the 12-minute mark. At first, I got in there, and they're doing this thing where everybody stands up and they say, like, Mr. Speaker, I want to take a second here to honor, I'm going to use a local example, my favorite pizza shop in New Waterford, Fat Boys Pizza on 30 years worth of business, Mr. Speaker. I acknowledge that they're doing a great job in the community there, and they've got a great menu, Mr. Speaker, and you should all check it out, Mr. Speaker. And they go on like this, and I'm like, what the fuck planet is this? Like, you know, and this is getting me kind of, I'm confused, but I'm angry. So the opposition members are standing up, and they're giving these, they take the opportunity to, and I appreciated it. They were giving kind of their heartfelt little vignette, snappy little deals about people in the film industry who were affected by the changes, right? And what would happen. So they were talking about my friends. They were talking about the folks that were outside rallying. I'll tell you, my guy wasn't doing a very good job of listening. And I'm watching him, right? And these are my friend's stories. And then he starts yelling stuff sometimes when people are talking about my friends. All right? And I was getting madder. And I was thinking about maybe jumping down. And then, so this is about the 10-minute mark. It wasn't very long. Lots of people were saying lots of stuff, getting me angry. And then all of a sudden, things change, and they're done talking about the pizza shops. And it's time to ask some questions to the premier. And Jamie Bailey stands up, and he asks a question, and the premier gives his answer. And then buddy down the row from me there gets kicked out. And honestly, he got kicked out, and I wasn't really into like what he said, and I was kind of like, that was kind of dumb. Right? Yeah. And then like, okay, so then the next question, and I got it with me. They keep all of this stuff online. There's a website where you can see all the stupid stuff they say. So if you want to see the pizza shop thing, that's on there. Question was, it was a long question, actually. Blah, 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 blah. Mr. Speaker, my question for the Premier is, will he provide this House with all options and every shred of analysis that his Cabinet and Treasury Board had before them when they chose to gut the film tax credit? And then this Mr. Premier, I don't remember, Mr. Premier, he says, Mr. Speaker, what is scandalous is to stand here and listen to the leader of the other party who, after 4 years in government, embedded into the cost of this province $7 million in wages. If you had just simply gone to the growth of the economy, we'd have $2 million more in treasury problem. We'd have $100 million surplus. Not only would we invest in every hospital room, Mr. Speaker, and we could invest in the private sector in every classroom, too, and to the jobs in this province, Mr. Speaker, too. And then, my guy, oh my God, this was dumb. Like, he wasn't even saying anything. You know, it wasn't about anything that was happening outside. It became very clear to me that nothing that was happening in this very, very nice room with good acoustics had anything to do with what was really happening outside. There was no discussion happening here. There was no problem solving being done here. There was no fixing things being done here. And you ever have a like situation where you have a moment, or maybe it's like, I don't know, you're doing a home renovation. Sometimes I'm on a film set, right? I'm a producer, I'm on a film set, and I'm like, I get this feeling that it's like, oh shit, this is completely screwed up, right? And you don't know what you're gonna do to fix it because it's too screwed up. That was the feeling that I had. And then my guy, the guy I voted for, that came to my door, leads a standing ovation for the premier's comments. And they all get up, and everybody's up and going on, right? And that was it. And I didn't really feel like I said, the guy who just got thrown out, I was kind of like, that was kind of dumb. Then all of a sudden, I'm up. What the fuck is, I'm up? And I say, I didn't say Mr. Speaker, so that was a mistake. I said, Mr. My Guy, you came to my door. You lied to me at my door. And now I'm at your door. And I'm at your house with all of your people. And I'm telling you, you're a liar. And then I got kicked out. So that was... And I felt I was still pissed off. And you know what? The people, the guards were awesome. And they were really cool. There's one thing in here, if you see it on the website, it says disturbance in brackets. So... Then I'm going out the door and I'm pissed off and my friends are coming in. They're like, and I'm getting escorted out by these really nice officer dudes. And then my friends are like, what's the matter? I'm like, I get kicked out. And then they said, you're banned for 90 days. And then I said, I don't want to be in there anyway. That place sucks. And then I go out the door and, you know, I pick up my sign that I had by the fence. And I'm like, this is... Oh man, this is a bad situation in there. You know, this sucks in there. And it was really nice outside. And then like everybody's at the rally having a great time. And I realized, you know what? Yeah, that Nova Scotia in that room sucks. But this Nova Scotia out here is pretty fucking awesome, right? And these are my people. Those people aren't my people. Okay, there wasn't even a representative from New Waterford in the goddamn place, right? So I was the honorable member for New Waterford for that one day. You guys would all get kicked out if you did that.
That was Nelson McDonald speaking at a storytelling event hosted by Springtide with Nova Scotia filmmakers in 2013 called Scene Change, Stories of NS Film Jobs. You can hear all the stories that were told at that event on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/springtideco. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/springtidecollective, or follow us on Twitter, @springtideco. If you're enjoying the podcast, consider giving us a rating and review in iTunes. You can find shareable versions of any episode you hear on the podcast by visiting audioboom.com/offscript. And to make sure the podcast keeps making it to your ears, consider chipping in $3 a month so we can keep bringing the podcast to you. Thanks to Paul Black and Ned Zimmerman, two people who became monthly contributors after last week's episode. Until next Tuesday.